Shir tonight is Leila Nishmas
Miriam Liba Bas.
Miriam Liba Bas.
Eliyahu.
Eliyahu. Mother. Okay, tonight I wanted to continue this series, I guess, that we have been having on who is a Jew. We call it the general topic. This tonight I wanted to start a part of a mini series within that bigger topic on the Rambam's 13 principles. Rambam's 13 Yigamal Ikarim. But we need a little bit of an introduction before we go through the Ikarim themselves, which I'd like to do in the coming weeks. We need to do a little bit of an introduction about them, really to understand what they are, and we'll do a little bit of the background. So there was a statement that Judaism is not a religion of dogma, meaning there was no set beliefs that were required in Judaism. Judaism was always was viewed as a religion of action. We have all these mitzvahs, but doesn't have a systematic list of beliefs. And if you look through the Torah, that's true. If you look through the Torah, it doesn't say there are obligations to believe certain things. There is no list that you'll find in the Torah. There is no list even in the works of the Chazal in the Mishnah. We don't find a formal list of beliefs. If you subscribe to these beliefs, then you are a Jew. If you don't subscribe to these beliefs, then you are not a Jew. However, that being said, it's not really a true statement. Because certainly the Rambam, as we know, we see, and we'll discuss, did put down a list that are, we'll see what that means, required to believe in, to follow in order to be a member of the Jewish people. We'll see. But there seems to be some type of a list of beliefs. And he wasn't the only one. In his time, now the Rambam was in the 11th, 12th century, so in that time and a little bit afterwards, there were others who also made lists of beliefs, of Ikarim, and what they were called, whether they were called. There was a Sefer HaIkarim written by Rabbi Yosef Albo, which is a little bit later in time in the 15th century, but also working off the Rambam's concept of having Ikarim. And we'll get to why. We'll get to some of the opinions as to why the Rambam wrote it and what his intentions were in writing it and formulating it. There are a few different approaches. But the Rambam certainly believed that Judaism is a religion that has of dogma as well, that we have a system of a set of beliefs that are necessary. And we see that the Rambam puts the halachos of Yisodei HaTorah, and the Rambam's the Mishnah Torah. We know the Rambam wrote a number of different works. What he's most famous for is the Mishnah Torah, which is his halachic, his book of halachos, the 14 books, all containing all of his halachos. He also wrote a Mor Nevuchim, which he was famous for and got in trouble for and caused controversy about, which was really his philosophical work. What he's least known for is his Perush HaMishnayos. It's his Perush that he wrote as a younger man. He wrote a Perush on the Mishnah, and that's where he wrote these Yud Gimel Ikarim. That was actually written in Arabic, and then it was translated into Hebrew. So all the other Rambams were written, I believe, in Hebrew, but the Perush HaMishnayos that we'll read tonight, this is a translation into Hebrew. But the Rambam certainly put that into the halacha even, not only as a philosophical ideas, but even as halachos in Yisodei HaTorah. He starts his Yad HaChazaka, the Mishnah Torah, with a section on Yisodei HaTorah. So certainly he was of the opinion that there is a religion, that Judaism is a religion of dogma as well. And that gets to a very big question as to how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how is it possible that God can obligate us, can command us to think something, to believe something. Right? It's a similar question that's asked regarding mitzvahs of feelings. That we have a mitzvah of avas Hashem, yiras Hashem. So there's a whole discussion, lo sachmod, right, not to be jealous. So all of those have questions of how is it possible that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can require us to either feel love, or is it possible that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can require us not to be jealous? If I'm jealous, I'm jealous. What do you mean, don't be jealous? So there is a lot of literature on that topic as to how Hashem could command us to feel or think certain things. But one question is, how could God command us to believe? Right? How, either we believe or we don't believe. You can't command somebody to think of something, right? Be something, feel something. So how could Hashem command us to believe? It would have been easier if we were just to say that, yeah, Judaism is not a religion of dogma. You don't have to believe anything. You can choose what to believe. You can choose what not to believe.
No.
Just do or don't do.
You don't have to believe in God.
So, well, maybe.
Like, I am Hashem, I am your God, and that is the 10th commandment, I am Hashem.
That is a commandment. Well, not exactly. But yeah, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Hashem HaTzivchem Eretz Yisrael, right.
So, don't believe that,
so that's an interesting question, because that itself is a whole debate as to whether that's a mitzvah. Because if you look in the pasuk there, there is no commandment of believe that I am your God. It's just
statement.
A statement of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, right? It's a statement, I am Hashem your God. So there's actually a debate amongst the Rishonim, those who the Monei HaMitzvos, the ones who count mitzvos, the Rambam being one of them, as to whether that is an actual mitzvah. Right? Everybody agrees that there are 613 mitzvahs in the Torah, but there's a debate as to what are those 613 mitzvahs. So the Rambam has a count, and the Sefer HaChinuch counts, and the Bahag, the Baal HaLachos Gedolos has a count. So the Rambam counts Anochi Hashem Elokecha as the first mitzvah, the mitzvah to believe in God. The Bahag, however, the Ramban, in his commentary on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs, so the Bahag, he quotes the Bahag, and the Bahag says it's not a mitzvah to believe in God. Why is it not a mitzvah to believe in God? So I think we've mentioned this in the past, or should have come up at some point, but the Bahag basically explains that believing in God is not a mitzvah. Right? There's no mitzvah to believe in God. It's, if you don't believe in God, you can't talk about mitzvahs. So it can't be one of the 613 mitzvahs is to believe in God. Belief in God is...
it's the precursor.
It's an introduction.
Yeah.
You can't get to mitzvahs without believing in God. You can't say it's one on a list. It's a much broader mitzvah that includes much more. It's not one mitzvah. It's part of all of the mitzvahs.
You're saying to believe in God, it's Judaism,
yeah.
Religion.
So there is a book that... I'll probably quote it as we learn through these 13 principles. Rabbi Bleich, who is one of the rabbis in YU, he's a shul in the city. He has a book, Perfect Faith. I forgot exactly the name, but he has a very big book, which is on the Yud Gimli Karim of the Rambam. And his introduction to the book, so he mentions this, that there are certain, if you're talking about fulfilling mitzvos, then you are inherently saying, I believe in God, right? If you're saying that I believe in the system of reward
not
and punishment.
Not only God, the Torah, I mean...
Right. I believe in the Torah. If I accept the mitzvot and accept Hashem's commandments, then obviously I accept God and I accept the Torah. So yes, it could be that built in to those, to certain mitzvot or to all mitzvot is really part of this belief.
Happened to blasphemy. He got punished for pressing Hashem. If he had to believe, he didn't have to believe, then why would he get punished, you know?
Right. No. Nobody says you don't have to believe. Even the Bahag, or maybe Mendelssohn, Moses Mendelssohn, he was the one who said that there is no, that Judaism is not a religion of dogma. It was just more of you can, you know, pick and choose what you believe, I think, from what I understand in the statement. No, but the Bahag is not saying that you don't have to believe. The Bahag is saying that without belief, you can't talk about mitzvot. Meaning there can't be such a thing as a mitzvah if you don't believe in God. So believing in God is not just a mitzvah, it's even bigger than a mitzvah. It's even more inclusive than a mitzvah, because it's before you get to mitzvahs, you have to believe in God. So it's like it's the super mitzvah. You know, it's the all-encompassing mitzvah that touches all of the other mitzvahs at one time. That's what belief in God is. So that's what the Baha'i, but that's a separate machlokas. So there are answers to the questions of how is it possible that God can command that we believe in God. There was a story, Chazal quote a story between Rabbi Akiva and the person says, prove to me that God created the world, prove to me that God exists. It's a famous midrash. So the Rabbi Akiva says, well, who made your sweater? So he said, the tailor. He said, prove to me that he made the sweater, that the tailor made your sweater. So Rabbi Akiva, and this is Rabbi Chaim Wasserman quotes this in his... actually, just mentioned the Ruchon Lachman, so he quotes this in his Kobetz Ma'amarim. So he says, Rabbi Kiva says, had it proved to me that the tailor made your sweater. He said, what do you mean proved to you that the tailor made my sweater? Of course the tailor made it. Look at it. It's so perfect. It's so nice. Of course the tailor made it. Somebody had to make it. So Rabbi Kiva says, exactly. Right? Look at the world around you. You can't tell me that God didn't create the world. Somebody had to create the world. Some power, some thing had to create the world. It couldn't be so perfect and so beautiful and look at all, everything in the world. If you say that about your sweater, so then Kal Vachomer, all the more so you would say it about the world itself. Rabbeinu Bechaya has a little bit of a different explanation. It's similar, but he says, you know, it's like taking a piece of paper and saying, you know, that I took a bottle of ink and I poured it on the paper and this is what came out. Right? That nobody would believe that. There would be a one in millions of a millions of a millionth chance that by pouring a whole bottle of ink on this paper that it would look like this when I picked it up. So he says the same is true about the world. There's no way that couldn't have created the world. There must be a creator of the world. Otherwise, it's beyond the realm of our imagination that something this this great and this precise and this perfect could possibly have been created by accident.
And she read a book called Beyond Reasonable Doubt.
Mm-hmm.
It has the same exact concept, but it's written like more someone is trying to come back.
Right. And this is the idea of intelligent design, that there was some...
An orange in there, exactly, you know. And exactly, each orange is the same exact amount of fruit, but then...
Yeah, everything. So that's why, you know, that's why some write that that's how we could have a commandment to believe. Because yes, you can't command a person to think something, to feel something, but when something's so obvious, like the belief in God, the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of a creator, so then it's a little bit easier than you can have such a commandment. So now, I mentioned that we don't have anywhere in the Torah or in Chazal any type of list of beliefs. So the closest thing we have is the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. The Mishnah in Sanhedrin, the beginning of Perek Chelek. It's a famous Mishnah, and that's the Mishnah that the Rambam makes his comments about these Yud Gimel Ikarim that he introduces them in. So I figure we should look at it. We'll read it together. I have it on the bottom of the sheet. It's the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadik and Aleph. I figure we would look through it because it is the foundation of basically the whole discussion. The Mishnah is Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelek Olam Haba. Every Jew has a portion of the world to come. Shenemar va'amech kulam tzadikim la'olam yirshu aret netzam matai ma'ase yadai lehispa'er. The pasuk says that your nation is all righteous. They will forever inherit the land and the offshoots of ma'ase yadai lehispa'er to be beautified. So that's where the Mishnah tells us that everybody has a share in Olam Haba. Then, immediately, in the same breath, after telling us that all of the Jewish people have a share in Olam Haba, the Mishnah says, "Ve'elu she'elahem chelek Olam Haba," except for these people. Right now, the rest is a few Mishnayos, which then go on to list all the different people who don't have a chelek in Olam Haba. One of which was the focus of our last. That's the machlokas. We mentioned that. That's in the same perek in Sanhedrin, where there is a machlokas as to whether the Aseret HaShvatim have a chelek in Olam Haba or not. But that we're not going to talk about tonight. We did enough of that. But these are the ones who don't have a chelek in Olam Haba. The Mishnah is HaOmer Ein Chiyas HaMesa Min HaTorah, somebody who denies the resurrection of the dead. Ve'ein Torah Min HaShemayim. And that there is no Torah from Shammai. I mean, the Torah is not from divine sources, from a divine source. The Apikoros. And an Apikoros. The Mishnah doesn't explain what an Apikoros is. Right? So that is vague, and we'll have to just define that, I guess, at some point. Or we can try to figure out what exactly that means. Now that's it. That's the Mishnah, the Tanakhama of the Mishnah, and the Stam Mishnah. That's his whole list. There's three people who don't have a Chelek in Olam Haba. And then the Mishnah goes on and quotes another two opinions. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says, Afakore Besarim Hachitonim. Even somebody who reads heretical works. The Halochesh Al Hamaka. And somebody who, as part of his part of a refuah for a makkah, he does some type of witchcraft. Some type of witchcraft. The Omer, and he says, "Kol makkah shesamtim yisrael lo asim alecha ki ani Hashem rafecha," and he says about this makkah, he says this pasuk. But it's like in some type of way. So that also, those two don't have a chelik in Olam Haba according to Rabbi Akiva. Abba Shaul Omer, then the Mishnah says there's one more opinion who adds one more. Hafa hoge es Hashem ba'osi Yosef. Somebody who pronounces the name of Hashem according to its letters. And there are different opinions as to which name of Hashem that is, whether it's Yud Kei Vav Kei, or whether it's the longer name of Hashem that we see in the Yehi Ratzon. It's printed in the Siddurim by the Yehi Ratzon for the Birkas Kohanim, that the Kahal says during the time that the Kohanim are singing, whether it's that name. But whatever it is, it's some name of Hashem. And that's it. And that's the end of that part of the discussion of the Mishnah. So this is a very interesting Mishnah, first of all. First, we have to understand, I mean, just to make note of the fact that all it says here is that there's a group of people who don't have a chelek in Olam Haba, right? Are they considered part of Klal Yisrael? Right? Would you say that, let's say these three people, because it seems that there are two separate lists here. There's one list of the Tanakhama, and then there's a list of Rabbi Akiva, then Abishol adds these other types, but their sins or misbeliefs seem to be tiny, right, when they're compared to the first three. The first three we understand. Now, maybe we understand and are more sensitive to them because we are so used to the 13 principles of the Rambam being the fundamentals of our belief that when we hear something against them, against those 13 principles, that we, you know, makes us uncomfortable. But let's assume that's not the case, right? If you were to compare the two lists here, that of Rabbi Akiva and Abishol, and not that they disagree with the first three, but they're adding to the first three. And the first three, so the first three are major, major topics, major concepts in Judaism. Resurrection of the dead, Torah, and Apikoros, which at most, at least means some type of, you know, denying something, right? It has a certain connotation to it. And then Rabbi Akiva says, yeah, somebody who reads heretical works, or somebody who's lochesh alamaka, but those seem to be not as major, right? That's the first, just wanted to point that out. Second of all, the question is, Eilu she'elahem chelek olam haba, are they part of Klal Yisrael, right? I feel I had to say that because we are officially, our series is who is a Jew. So the question is, if you don't subscribe to the principles of the Rambam, and again, the Rambam's statements of the 13 principles is working off of this Mishnah, as we'll see. So does a person lose his status as a Jew if he doesn't believe in these principles? Right? If this is his source, right, which is why I wanted to read it inside, if this is his source, so does it seem from this Mishnah that a person who doesn't believe in, let's say, Tchiyat HaMeisim, the resurrection of the dead, that he loses his status as a Jew?
I wouldn't think so. I mean, the children are still Jewish.
Right. Yeah, their children should still be Jewish, but yeah, right.
Or any future children, for that matter. So.
Yeah.
It would appear that they're still members of Klal Yisrael.
Yeah, so that's interesting that you point that out.
Does chelek l'olam haba have anything to do with whether you're a Jew or not?
Yeah, so hold on. I'll throw out one thought to Stuart's question. Is it possible that they wouldn't be considered Jewish and their children would be? I know that sounds funny because, again, we generally assume our working definition of a Jew is somebody who was born from a Jewish mother. Right, and then once you're born from a Jewish mother, so then it doesn't matter what you do, what you don't do. Right, Yisrael afal pishachata Yisrael, a Jew, even if he sins, is a Jew. That's generally what we think and what we assume. But if it's true that we have a list of beliefs that if you don't subscribe, that they are the fundamental principles of our belief, and if you don't subscribe to them, then blank. Right, fill in the blank. Whether you're not a Jew or you just have no chelek in Olam Haba, which is what Mark was coming to. So if it's you're not a Jew, so would that affect your children?
Doesn't the fact that an apikoros is listed go even further because it's a whole different subject that you know you shun them as opposed to the other two groups where you don't necessarily have the same level of distancing.
Or maybe it is. the apikoros, maybe it's the same thing. First, we haven't even, the Mishnah doesn't define what an apikoros is. But you're right. I mean, I would think that the same way, if you feel that there's a need to shun an apikoros, there would be also a need to shun somebody who doesn't accept Torah min hashamayim and doesn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. Well, again, which I'll point out, there's only three listed here, right? But just a thought, keep that in mind, because obviously planting a seed for something that we'll see later, but there is an interesting thought as to whether you can have somebody who is not, loses his status as a Jew and still does not affect his children.
Is a person Jewish besides, you know, one day I wake up in the morning and I won't be Jewish anymore? Is religious all life when they go up there? That means that Jewish guy considered being a Jew doesn't mean that it's apikoros.
It's apikoros means you're not a Jew.
He doesn't believe in anything anymore. He says, okay, I don't believe in Shabbos, I'm going to go. I don't believe in Hashem, so go on here, that's it. So he's throwing off the yoke of Hashem.
That's the question. Right. So now, going back to the Mishnah, so Mark said, so now maybe we can distinguish between Chelek and Olam Haba and being considered a Jew. Right? All this Mishnah says is Yesh Lehem Chelek Olam Haba or Ein Lehem Chelek and Olam Haba. Right? All that means is, now just finish this thought first. All that means is whether you have a Chelek and Olam Haba or not. Now, what's interesting though is that the Mishnah starts with Kol Yisrael Yesh Lehem Chelek and Olam Haba. Kol Yisrael Yesh Lehem Chelek and Olam Haba, right? And then the Mishnah says Ve'elu She'ein Lehem Chelek and Olam Haba. Now,
so why would it need to say Ve'elu if they weren't Jewish? Then you'd automatically.
Well, or they're not part of Klal Yisrael, and that's why Ein Lehem Chelek and Olam Haba. Right? It doesn't say. I'm just throwing it out there as two ways of reading this Mishnah. Kol Yisrael Yesh Lehem Chelek and Olam Haba, Ve'elu Ein Lehem Chelek and Olam Haba. So what does it mean, Ve'elu Ein Lehem Chelek and Olam Haba? These members of Klal Yisrael, or these people who are no longer considered members of Klal Yisrael? And if it means these members of Klal Yisrael, why would the Mishnah start with Kol Yisrael Yesh Lehem Chelek and Olam Haba? Why start with everybody has a share in Olam Haba?
It's like the general statement. It's like there are exceptions. You know, it's like this is the normal rule that if you're a Jew, you get Olam Haba. Except then there's maybe these other type of Jews who normally would have a chelek, except these guys don't.
Yeah, why not?
For whatever reason that we haven't gone into yet, but. Maybe it's because that for them, it's not, even though they're considered a Jew, maybe that we'll find out, it's lack of belief enough that
someone who loses a chelek in Olam Haba, are they still considered a Jew?
That's what we're trying to say.
Did we learn in the previous year that Zohar Mabel didn't have a chelek in Olam Haba, to tell me they weren't Jews?
Well, I thought the first Jew was after
him. Yeah, well, first of all, there was no Judaism until after Matan Torah.
Dora
Midbar. Yeah, so that's a question as to what that means. And it could be that there are different groups of people who don't have a Chelek and Olam Haba, as I mentioned. And if you look through the Rambam lists, you know, a number of different types of people together. I think that the argument can be made that there are almost two different types of people who don't have a share in Olam Haba. One who maybe wouldn't be considered part of Klal Yisrael, and one who would just be as a punishment for their sin, not at a chelek in Olam Haba. There might be two separate tracks. It might not be.
What does that mean?
Yeah, I'll explain to you why as we go. I'll show you why I think that it might be two different. You know, there's one that gets punished as Ein Lehem Chelek in Olam Haba. The punishment is that they don't get a chelek in Olam Haba, and the other one that it's not a punishment, but it's an inability to go into Olam Haba, right? Maybe because they lose their Shem Yisrael. So, okay, so let's move along. If you look on the back of your sheet, right? I mean, to continue this thought, but to move along a little bit, is this on the top? This is the Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayos. The bottom is the Rambam from the Yad HaChazaka from Mishnah Torah. That will save for later. If you look at the Rambam on the top, of the sheet is the parish on this Mishnah in Chelek, and this is actually the end of his parish on this Mishnah. It's a very long, as Perushim on Mishnah go, this Mishnah has a very long explanation of the Rambam, because the Rambam goes on to explain different types of people, and then the Rambam goes on to explain all 13 of his Ikarim. So after he tells you his 13 principles of faith, the Rambam says as follows on the top of the page: V'kasher yu kayamin la'adam kol hayasodos halalu ve'emunosu bahem amitis. Now it's interesting just to point out that he writes kol hayasodos halalu. He calls them yasodos, which means yasodos are foundations, you know, like fundamental beliefs, as opposed to principles, because that is a question as to what does it mean, what does an ikar mean? And when we say there are 13 yud gimel ikarim of the Rambam, what does it mean to be an ikar? Right? So, just to note, as I mentioned though, this is a translation from Arabic, so it's hard to be medayik in the words exactly. But anyway, the Rambam says, when a person has all of these fundamental, all of these foundations, the emunasu bahem amitis, and his belief in them is complete, is truthful, harei hu nichnas the Klal Yisrael. He enters into Klal Yisrael. What does that mean? Right. When he has all of these beliefs, he enters into Klal Yisrael. V'chova, and therefore there's an obligation, la'ahavo, you have to love him, v'lachma l'love, and you have to have mercy on him, v'chol ma shetziva Hashem osanu zeh al zeh minahava v'achva, and everything that Hashem commanded us regarding one another when it came to love and brotherliness, v'afilu osa ma sheyachol li os min ha'averos, and even if he sins and he does whatever he can do from the sins, machmas ta'avaso his gabrus yitzra hara, if because of his desires and because of the strength of his yitzra hara, harehu ne'enash lefi godo mirav v'yesh lo chelik, he will be punished, but he will still have a chelik in olam haba, v'hum miposhe Yisrael, and he's still considered a Jewish sinner, but still considered part of Klal Yisrael.
So what's the definition does he mean by Klal Yisrael? Does that mean as a Jew, or does that mean as part of the nation, as part of the, you know, the group?
Or is it like Eretz?
No. Right, you know, this is out of context. I didn't want to quote the entire thing.
It sounds like Eretz a little bit.
Yeah, but he's not. It's interesting. It's an interesting thought. It's interesting that you say that. No, in this context, he's not at all. He just listed the 13 principles, and immediately after following these 13 principles, he says this statement.
Well, maybe he's saying that. Because after that, he also goes on to say that even if you choose to sin thereafter,
yes,
still never applies.
Well, if as long as you sin, yes, sin, yes, yes, and that's important. Yeah. Let's see what he continues to say. And when he questions one of these yesodos, hare ze yotza min haklal v'kafar b'ikar. He leaves the klal, and he is kofar b'ikar. V'nikra min v'apikoros v'kotez b'nitios, and he's called a min and an apikoros, and he's kotez b'nitios, meaning he's cutting down the roots. Down the branches, the chova lisnoso, and there's an obligation to hate him, ula hashmido, and to destroy him, the alav hu omer halom misanecha Hashem esna. The pasuk says that we should hate him, that from those who hate God, we should hate, I should hate. Right? So here he says, and again, the focus would be, hareza yotza min haklal. What does that mean, hareza yotza min haklal?
Not Jewish.
So I'm willing to leave that open for now, but you know, I'm not exactly sure what he means. Hareza yatza min haklal, right? And it's the mirror image. It's the flip side of what he said, that when you have all of these, harehu nichnas b'chlal Yisrael, and if you don't, then yatza min haklal. Now this is how seriously the Rambam took these yud gimel ikar, right? The Rambam obviously felt that they were so important that it was the definition of who was considered part of Klal Yisrael and who was not, to the degree that he even went on to say that as long as you are part of the Klal, then you can sin, that's fine, and you'll be punished for your sin, but you'll still have a chelik, right? And he even said that yesh lo chelik. What do you mean yesh lo chelik?
A
Yesh lecho chelek in olam haba. Right. Yesh lecho chelek in olam haba. Now, to me, it sounds almost like he's connecting the two. Right? This one is in, so yesh lecho chelek, and the other one, so he doesn't say the other one doesn't, but that's obviously the inference is that the other one doesn't, which is why Kol Yisrael Yesh Lecho Chelek Olam Haba, and these don't. He does call them an apikoros, right? Nikra min of apikoros, and we know the apikoros is on the list of the Mishnah that says of someone who doesn't have a chelek in Olam Haba. So there is, I mean, this Rambam is very, very strong language. Very, very strong language. Which is obviously surprising. And I would say from here, and I'm still looking through all of the Rambams where he discusses these, but there is, you know, the thought is that maybe the Rambam assumes as follows, that there are different types of people. When the Rambam says, Ein lahem chelek olam haba, this group of people who, Ein lahem chelek olam haba, if you dismiss any of these 13 principles that he spells out, so it could be what he means is that they're not part of Klal Yisrael, right? They're not part of Klal Yisrael, but it's because of their beliefs, right? That if their beliefs, if their foundation, the fundamentals of their beliefs are not where they should be, and there's something weak in his foundation, in his emunah, then he's not part of Klal Yisrael, right? And I'm not sure we will be able to define what that means exactly, but that's taken kipshuto on a simple level means he's out of Klal Yisrael.
But does that mean if he then starts to believe again, he's automatically back in?
Yes. Yes. He can come back, he can do tshuva, but
then he has to.
Rabbi would say 90% of the Jews are not really Jews, but 90% of the Jews are not religious, they don't believe.
So that's a question. Hold that thought. What if you don't believe because you don't know?
Not because you don't know. There are people who know. These days you can't say that you don't know. You have everything, this is like the world, and you know a lot more now than you could know 15 years ago.
Okay.
And I know there's a lot of people out there who do know, they just don't care.
I think he's talking more about complete rejection as opposed to doubt. Or
I know people have complete rejection.
Or inaction. Seems that way.
Right. Hold that thought. I'm not sure we're going to get to it tonight, but hold that thought, because that's a question.
How about the Jew marry the non-Jew? I mean, is that person being...
Well, so again, I think there are different types of people.
Okay.
Because there, again, in the Rambam, in all of his writings in the Mishnah Torah, so he does have lists of people who have Ein lahem chelek olam haba. In Hilchos Tshuva, he has a list of people who don't have a chelek in olam haba. And some of these people are minim, apikorsim, kofrim batorah, kofrim betchias hamesim, right? All of these sound familiar. And kofrim bebias goel, hagoel, hamordim umachtiye harabim, right? Somebody who makes others sin. So that's not on our list of principles. That's an action. Right? That's not a fundamental belief. Then he has haporshim midarchei tzibor, somebody who goes away from the darchei tzibor. Haosa averus biyad rama b'farhesia, somebody who rebels against God by doing sins in a rebellious fashion. Hamosrim, somebody who is moser, meaning he gives over, hands over Jews to the authorities. Now, Usa Averos, Umatili Ema al Hatzibor, Shalol Lashem Shemar, Shov Chedamin, somebody who kills, not on our list of fundamental beliefs. Ubali Lashon Hara, somebody who speaks Lashon Hara. So there are some actions in this list, and then he goes on. So it could be as follows, as I mentioned, it could be there are two different, like, almost tracks that the Rambam feels that there are people who don't have a chelek olam haba. One track is the people who don't have their beliefs straight, and because they don't have the proper beliefs, the proper yesodos, they don't have a chelek olam haba, and they are not part of Klal Yisrael. That in order to be part of Klal Yisrael, you need to have those beliefs. That just to paraphrase what he said. Then it could be there's another group of people who don't have a chelek olam haba, but not because of their beliefs, but rather because almost as a punishment that their sin was so great that they could not possibly have the enough punishment for their sin to be able to then get to a chelek olam haba, right? Which is what I would have categorized some of the ones I just listed.
It seems like the common thread is that all those cause other people not to be able to believe or worship Hashem.
Those, yeah. That's interesting.
All the ones who
listen. Mm-hmm.
In one form or another.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting. Which could be part of the reason why it's such a great sin. And then it could be also there are other people who, let's say that, you know, there are certain psukim that say achicha, right? Lo tisnas achicha bilvavecha. You shouldn't hate your brother. So who's considered your brother? So their formal definition of who's considered your brother when it comes to certain halachos. So somebody who is over in Avera and is not acting like your brother, min yachicha b'mitzvos, the Gemara says, so then he's not considered your brother when it comes to that mitzvah, which means he's basically not part of Kal Yisrael when it comes to that mitzvah. And there are other mitzvahs that say the lashon of amisecha or amcha, which means members of your nation. So if they're not acting like members of your nation, so there could be given halachos where there are people who are over on Averos where they can be outside of being included in that mitzvah, and yet they would still the chelek in Olam Haba. Right? That the actions are not what's going to take a person away from having a chelek in Olam Haba. Unless they're very extreme actions, as we see, there are some actions that are going to take away a person's chelek in Olam Haba. But on the most part, the Rambam seems to be more concerned not with the person's actions as much as with the person's beliefs. That it's the beliefs that have a stronger effect on the person's future in Olam Haba rather than the action, which is actually the opposite. Right? If we go back to what we started with, that the statement that Judaism is not a religion of dogma, so this is actually the opposite of that. And this is saying that we're more concerned, Rambam would say, I'm more concerned with your beliefs and your religious thoughts than your actions, because your actions won't take you out of having a chelek in Olam Haba, unless there's some terrible extreme actions, but on the most part, that's not what's going to destroy your chelek in Olam Haba. That's not what's going to take you out of being a member of Klal Yisrael. If you're beliefs, if it's your emunah, it's what you think, that's what could take you out of being a member of Klal Yisrael. So it's actually the exact opposite, which is an interesting thought to keep in mind. Now the reason why the Rambam's beliefs, the 13 Ikarim, have become very popular, to the degree that we basically accept them, on the most part, again, there have been controversies and books written about it, and we'll talk about it a little bit about the different Ikarim and the Machlok. There are disagreements amongst the Rishonim about some of them. They're not all agreed upon, but they have been accepted basically by Klal Yisrael. They make sense, yes, but they've been accepted almost as the Yud Gimel Ikarim, as basically as the fundamental beliefs of our religion. But part of the reason why they became so popular is not because the Rambam wrote these 13 Ikarim in his Perash HaMishnayos in the Sanhedrin, but it's because there were two other places that they were written that were incorporated as part of our Siddur. So the two places are Yigdal, which is the poetic re-explanation. I don't know, it's putting it in different words, but basically it's 13. It is the 13 principles of faith, just in a poetic way. And then the Yud Gimel Ikarim themselves, written up in the back of the Siddur. So it's interesting that those two are put in the Siddur. The question is, who wrote them? There were those who were of the opinion that they were written by the Rambam himself, but I think that's been... I think we found out that that's not the case. Yigdal we have an author of. We don't have an author of the Yud Gimel Ikarim in the back of the Siddur, who wrote those in that fashion. The Rambam doesn't write it in one line. The Rambam writes it in each one gets a small paragraph, not one line. So somebody shortened them and tried to put them into this form of Ani Ma'amin Be'emunah Shleima is not written by the Rambam. Right? He doesn't have that. In his Perash HaMishnayos, it doesn't say Ani Ma'amin Be'emunah Shleima. It's just a list of the 13 principles. So that also was written by somebody else.
Who wrote Yigdal?
So Yigdal was written by Daniel ben Yehuda from Rome, which was around the 14th century. Around the 14th century, which is 200 years after the Rambam. Right? The Rambam was the 11th, 12th century. This is the 14th century, so it's 200-300 years after the Rambam lived. Yigdal was written. The Animamins, I think, were written even later. Later than that, I think they were written later, also in the around that time, maybe the 15th, but later than Yigdal. So if you go, I had made the photocopy to go through them and to look through them because it's kedai to. We all know that there are 13 principles, but sometimes we forget what all 13 principles are. So maybe what time is it? Go a little more. Yeah? We're going a little bit. yeah. But maybe maybe we'll save the Yigdal and Imam. Maybe we'll look at them next week. We'll do something else now. because I think Stuart, I think you mentioned it. Let's go back to the Rambam statement that a person is taken out of Kal Yisrael, and we'll look through them next week. We'll begin with that, looking through and comparing the Anam and the Yigdal. So we said that the person doesn't have a chelek in Olam Haba, and we're not sure exactly what that means, how that affects a person standing in Kal Yisrael. It could be it takes him out of being a member of Kal Yisrael. It could be it doesn't. And the Rambam seems to say that it does, and the question is what exactly that means. So the question is, why is there no chelek in Olam Haba? Right? Why does a person not get a chelek in Olam Haba if he doesn't believe one of these 13 things? According to the Rambam, if you don't believe these 13, you don't have a chelek in Olam Haba. Right? According to others, there are certain things. The Mishnah says if you don't believe in Tchiyas HaMeisim and you don't believe in Torah Min HaShemayim, then you don't have a chelek in Olam Haba. The Rambam throws in another 10 or 11 to the list of things that if you don't believe them, you lose your chelek in Olam Haba. But why? Why would a person lose his chelek in Olam Haba for not believing one of these beliefs? So there are two answers generally, and these are two important answers, one of which comes up a few times. One is, very simply, it's a punishment. Right? It's a punishment. That's the easy answer. Yeah, there's a punishment. If you don't believe in it, you don't accept these, so then you don't merit going to Olam Haba. It's that simple. Right? It's very simple. Believe it or punished, and you don't get it. The same way we said there are some extreme actions, right? Maybe that they have to do with other people, but there are extreme actions that if you don't follow them, you don't do them, you are punished and you lose your chelek in Olam Haba. So too, if you don't believe certain things, you lose your chelek in Olam Haba. It's a punishment. That's the easy explanation, easy to explain. The second explanation is a little bit more. If you remember last year when we talked about Olam Haba, we spoke about the Machlokes Rambam and Ramban about what Olam Haba is. We said that the Ramban's understanding of Olam Haba was that it's time, it's a physical, spiritual reality of the time after the Tchiyas HaMeisim that will continue, and the Rambam's opinion was that Olam Haba is a spiritual world. That according to the Ramban, there was Yemos HaMashiach, Tchiyas HaMeisim, and then after Tchiyas HaMeisim there was Olam Haba. That everybody who came back from Tchiyas HaMeisim, they went to Olam Haba. That's the Ramban. The Rambam's opinion was that not much will change in the time of Yemos HaMashiach, right? And then there will be Tchiyas HaMeisim, and then after Tchiyas HaMeisim there will be this longer life of Yemos HaMashiach that people will live in a physical world with a little bit different, but not so different, and then they will die again and go to Olam Haba. They will return to that same Olam Haba that they went to after they passed away in this world. Then they come back to Tchiyas HaMeisim, then they go back to Olam Haba. So according to the Rambam, the Olam Haba is a completely spiritual world. It's a world that has no physical aspect. It's a world that exists now, almost a, you know, running parallel universe to the one that we are in. Olam Haba is the spiritual universe that the neshamas go to after the body passes away, after the person passes away. And that Olam Haba then continues to exist after Tzias HaMeisim, that after people die a second time, they'll go to Olam Haba again. Now, what Olam Haba is a complete spiritual reality of the intellect, where a person's intellect will continue to exist into Olam Haba. So the Brisker Rav, the Griz, Zev Zalavechik, was known as the Brisker Rav. He lived in Eretz Yisrael. After the war, came to Eretz Yisrael. So the Brisker Rav writes that the reason why somebody who doesn't accept the Yud Gimli Karma of the Rambam loses his chelik in Olam Haba is because if you don't have a complete mind, right, or a complete all of the necessary foundations for your intellect, you can't go to Olam Haba. You can't be in Olam Haba. It's like trying to take an advanced class before taking the principal class. You can't sit in and understand the advanced material if you don't take the 101 class. You just can't understand it. I can't go and sit in a biophysics class if I didn't take the necessary biology classes and the necessary physics classes. I just won't understand it. And it's not fitting for me to be in that class if I didn't do what I needed to get done beforehand. So the Brisker Rav explains that having the 13 principles of faith in Olam Hazeh, in a person's intellectual capacity in this world, is a preparation that would then allow him to take that intellect and go and sit and enjoy and get pleasure from Olam Haba. If you're missing one of those 13 beliefs, you can't sit in Olam Haba. It just doesn't make sense. It wouldn't make sense to you sitting in Olam Haba if you don't have all the things that are necessary to get to Olam Haba. Right? And that's why it's not a punishment that you ain't lo chelik Olam Haba. It's that you can't. You're not shayach. You can't go into Olam Haba without first having these as the prerequisite of having the complete intellect. Now, what does that mean? Right? What does that mean? Let's say a person accidentally doesn't have one of these fundamental beliefs. Let's say a person accidentally. What does it mean accidentally? So I'll read you what the Rambam says. The Rambam writes, in the next halacha actually, the Rambam says that somebody who says he believes in God, sheyesham ribon echad, aval shehu guf uba'al temuna. But he has a body. Right? He's a physical person. He's God. I believe in God, but he's a physical person. He doesn't have a chelik in Olam Haba. Says the Ravid, right, the Ravid in his comments on the Rambam, he says, I don't understand. This is the wrong one. Yeah. Lama karala ze min. Why is that person considered to be a min? A heretic. Vekama gdolim vitovim imenu. They were greater and better people than the Rambam himself. Holchu bezu hamachshava. They followed this idea that God has a body and is physical. Lefim asherau b'mikros. Not because that they didn't believe in God, but because of the psukim. Because the psukim say, v'yoser masherau b'divrei ha'agados ham mishabishos es hadeos. But because psukim say that God used his outstretched arm, and it talks about God with the body, with the flames coming out of his nose, chara af, that the anger of his nose, it talks about God speaking, it talks about God's hand, it talks about God's power. So it's, you see, very simply, it sounds like God has a physical body. So the fact that this person would be led to make a mistake, and the Ravid seems to agree with the Rambam, that God does not have a physical body, because he says that there are not just psukim, but there are statements of Chazal that are mishabshos, that can confuse people. So let's say a person goes ahead and is confused, and makes a mistake. So one of the 13 principles, number 3, is Eino Guf, he has no body, Velo Yasigehu Masige Haguf, and there's no, he's not affected by physical phenomena, the Eino Shum Dinyon Klal, and there is no comparison to physicalness between HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's one of the 13 principles of the Rambam. So if a person makes a mistake and doesn't believe that, not because he doesn't believe in God, he's a God-fearing person, but he thinks, because the Pasuk says, he's a simple person, let's say, and he learns the Torah, and the Torah says God has a physical hand. So he says, oh, okay, God has a hand. Right? So that person, according to the Rambam, ain lo chelek olam haba. Right? Now the Rambam doesn't say if he makes a mistake. Right? The Rambam doesn't say in the halachos that if he makes a mistake and thinks that a person does, that Hashem has a body, that he's punished and he has no chelek olam haba. He doesn't say that. He just says if a person thinks that God has a body, has a physical aspects, attributes, then ain lo chelek olam haba. He's a heretic and he's no chelek olam haba. So the Rambam doesn't say that even if it's by accident. He doesn't say that. The Raivin, however, does say that the Rambam thinks that even if it's by accident. Right? The Raivin thinks that the Rambam would say that if you make a mistake and take the psukim literally and think that God has physical attributes, you are a heretic, according to the Rambam. And the Raivin says that's not the case. What could they be arguing about? So the explanation that is given by some is that this argument is, how do you understand the reason that Ein Lahem Chelek Olam Haba? If the reason is because of the punishment, so then you're not punished for something you do by accident.
Right.
So if you don't have that fundamental foundation, that fundamental of the belief, okay, so you made a mistake, you don't have it. So, but you still get a Chelek Olam Haba if it's by accident. But if you say that the reason why a person who doesn't believe in the 13 principles as Ein Lo Chelek Olam Haba is because his intellect is not tuned, is not in tune with what Olam Haba has in store, and therefore he can't be a part of Olam Haba, then even if it's by accident, even if it's b'shogeg, even if it's just because of an innocent mistake, he would not be able to have a chelek in Olam Haba. And that's how most understand this Rambam. We'll talk more about this next week because the Rambam talks about the children of heretics and how it affects them, and maybe we'll have to connect it back to this concept of the Rambam, and then we'll move more deeper into the 13 principles a little bit. We'll do a little bit more of an introduction, and then hope maybe next week we'll even start talking about the Yud Gimli Karim themselves. Shkach.